how to get started fixing and flipping properties and then transferring those into long-term rental properties eventually. You want to start with the fixing and flipping first, and that's what our expert is going to teach us to do. And then the strategy can move you into a buy and hold strategy later so that you can support your family and not have to work for somebody else. My guest today is Paul Tompkins. He spends his life teaching other people how to fix and flip properties. That's his main education focus. And then ultimately get to a point where you can actually start owning rental properties with the cash flow that you've created from all of those fix and flip properties. He does this along with his wife, Kelsey, and he's been doing it for a number of years. He's done over 50 of these fix and flips, and he teaches worldwide. And he's got a brand new membership site also where he teaches you how to do this. So, Paul, welcome to the show, my friend. So great to have you here and educating our audience today.
Clayton, man, thank you so much for being here. I love what you guys do and your education and platform. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So yeah, let's talk about some of the things we were just talking off camera about. You know, I really want to help educate our audience today. And they can deep dive your course and your membership site. Tell us where they can find that, number one, so people can deep dive that a little bit later. And we're going to give a basic framework here, but they'll deep dive that stuff later.
Sure. Our website, all our social media handles are all the same. It's Flippin, F-L-I-P-P-I-N. There's no G on it. Experts. So flippinexperts.com. They can follow us on social media, get free training, however we can help them.
Perfect.
That's what we want to do. So
perfect. Well, I appreciate you telling us that. And so people, if you're driving right now, we'll have that all in the show notes for you so you can find Paul later and get some more information there. So tell me about this strategy, because I'm not much of a flipper. My focus has been finding properties, acquiring them, buy and hold strategy. And I did that with like a 500 credit score. I had a lot of debt, but I also saw the value in being able to do wholesaling, you know, getting some of that quick cash that I would get from wholesaling to transfer into buy and hold real estate. But I had a lot of friends who were doing the flipping game, spending a lot of time doing it correctly, and then transitioning into buy and hold rental properties. So why was flipping properties appealing to you and your wife?
Right off the bat, when you think about money, it's a chunk of change that you get very quickly. It's not like a rental where you're collecting money every single month. Fix and flips, you're getting the instant cash. If you're flipping properties every 3 or 4 months, you're getting that cash right away. So obviously appealing wise, that was very appealing. We're not sitting and waiting a long term for that money to return. My wife and I, we've always loved real estate. We've always loved property, how to change something from an eyesore in the community to something beautiful and that's restored. And we can give back the community something that's gorgeous and someone can live in. So,
yeah, it's certainly appealing to me. And I certainly know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of push for people who watch, you know, HGTV or watch those flipping shows. You know, we've had Tarek El Moussa on the show. And so, you know, seeing how you can transform a property, and on the surface, it can look easy. It's the allure of those shows where you're like, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to lose $40,000 all the time, which is what Tarek was doing on those shows. I even asked him, I said,
sure.
I would watch those shows and I say, is he really losing like 40 grand every time he does a flip? And I think it's sexy to a lot of people to do those or watch those types of shows to then go and try to do it. But you could really lose your shirt if you're not doing it properly, which is what motivated you to start teaching people to do it correctly, right?
Yeah. Every time I go speak somewhere, I have a line afterwards and people would just come up and they'd either have a great story or a terrible story where they lost money. And it normally always boiled down to two things. They're education, right? Were they self-educating? Did they have a coach? Did they take an online training course? Did they go to a seminar? And on the flip side of it, it was how motivated were they? Were they kind of dabbling? And it was like, hey, I'd love to try to do this one day, or I'm still looking for my next deal and it's been 6 months. So I found like education and motivation was kind of like who was successful, who was not successful. And we just get tired of hearing stories about, hey, I lost 40 grand. Hey, or they'd come up and they'd ask the same questions that are like the very basic questions over and over and over again. And finally, I looked at my wife and I'm like, man, like we got to reach people at a higher level. Like I can't just reach people in Florida or South Georgia. Like I need to be helping people in California, in New York. How can I best do that? And I had just been speaking with Brendan Burchard and Dean Graziosi, and Brendan's great on building courses. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to build a course, and I'm not a course guy at all. Like, I don't even really do podcasts that much, but I understand how to help other people and serve other people. And for me and Kelsey, that's what it was. It was like, how do we get this information out so we don't hear these many bad stories? And then we created the course, and you know, it was a couple thousand dollars. And I'm like, not that many people can afford a couple hundred thousand dollars. I mean, a couple thousand dollars. Like, how do I make it more affordable? How do I get more people get like even free information? And we just launched a membership site last week that gives them access to fix and flip information, access to rental information, access to wholesaling information and courses. And we just want to give away as much as possible. That way it eliminates a lot of mistakes that our customers, our friends, our clients, people who we speak with are having.
So let's talk about some of those mistakes and some of the framework that people can expect to find sort of buried deeper in sort of your membership site. Let's give some value here to our audience today. And what are some of the common mistakes that you find newbies make when they're starting the fix and flip process?
I love that word, Clayton. We were actually going to name our company Flipping Newbies to Flipping Experts. And as we dove into that, we thought about it, and there's like a lot of people that have flipped 5 or 10 that just never had the experience and no one ever showed them. So we want to include them in it. And I've seen people do 100 deals that are missing pieces of it, that if they just altered a couple pieces, that it would radically change their income. Like, they didn't know about this and know about this. So a lot of things that we see with newbies, as we're saying, is taking the very first step. That is like a hurdle I see more than ever. And I don't know why. I guess like some of us are built a certain way where we see something, we know what our goal is, we know how successful we want to be, we know how much money we want to make, and we just go do it. Other people, they kind of have to be influenced or taught or coached into it. And once they do it once, they're like, oh my gosh, it's that easy. And they just continue to do it and do it and do it. So for us, it's always like the newbies taking that very first step. And that's like our membership, Clayton. For the first week, I charge $1. Like, that's it. They get 7 different trainings, one every single day for a week for $1. And then if they decide to stay with me, they stay with me at $79 a month. They get all my podcasts. They get live training from me every single month on the newest stuff, like all this COVID stuff and stock market stuff and presidential stuff. Like, you better understand where all that fits into real estate and with lending and all these different things. So we get on there live every single month. My wife teaches staging properties and creating a staging company and a design company and what sells your house faster and all these different facets that a lot of people are just thinking, hey, I'm just going to flip the house and be done. But if you do it right, you can literally up your percentages by 25, 30, 40%.
Wow. That's a lot of percentage points. Certainly when you add in those extra things on a project, that's amazing. So let's talk about some of the basic framework that someone would need to put in place. What could they expect? So let's say they sign up for your $1 for the first 7 days. They start deep diving all of this information. When you start having them take action, which is really the first step, they've just got to take action. It's not going to be perfect, but what you do in your training is try to mitigate some of those early mistakes or those mistakes along the way, pouring all of your knowledge into this so that can help these people in this process. What are some of the basic foundational pieces that you need to put in place in order to start finding a property, fixing a property, or building a property from scratch from the ground up? What are some of those first steps? Because I can imagine someone sitting back saying, I don't even know where to start with this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we find when there's a lack of knowledge, fear creeps in, right? So that's why a lot of people don't take the first step. They're like, I just don't know where to start. It's overwhelming. I can't do it. And they stop. And they never really took the first step. So what we teach from day one is walk them through the process of a full renovation on a house, whether like module one is how do you set up an LLC? How should you be setting it up? What CPA things should you be thinking about? And it's basically taking the baby steps every single day. And then there's call to actions in it. Hey, today I need you to go do this. And if you take something that's big and break it down into little pieces, you'd be surprised how much you can accomplish. So I mean, it's crazy how many investors, they don't know their numbers. I think that's our biggest thing we see is, I want to be an investor, or I think I'm a wholesaler, or even buying rental properties. They don't actually know their numbers. How much does it cost to renovate? What's the home actually worth? Not what a realtor's telling you, not what your best friend who sold one house thought. Like, what are the true fundamental numbers that you need to know, because if you buy it wrong, you're dead in the water. If you renovate it wrong and you think it's a $20,000 rehab, like all the wholesalers will tell you, and it's really a $45,000 rehab, you're dead in the water. So there's all these little pieces that if you just put it in a certain framework, and that's what our membership does, it lays it out step by step. I give you all the downloads. I give you all the sheets. I give you the trainings. I'm not just a guy that sits there and does a teaching. Like, you'll see me inspecting a house with my designer, with my GC, with a camera crew following me around, like on a roof, outside looking at the structure, crawling under a house, inside the house, talking design. How do we knock this wall down and restructure this so it's bigger and it sells faster? How do we save money on budget? How do you hire a contractor? How do you know who's trustworthy? How do you know how many draws to give them? All these different little questions that are in our brains, or maybe we haven't even thought about them yet, we lay it out very strategically day after day after day, and then they can just go back and, what did Paul say about this? And they can go back to the next module and watch it again, and then go out and start their day fresh with exactly how to do it. And if we're doing 35 to 50 deals every single year, we know what we're doing. I still do this every single day. I hold rentals every single day. We wholesale deals all the time. So we're actually living it, doing it every single day. So when we created all these forms and downloads, it's stuff I'm using. It's stuff my team's using. It's stuff my wife is designing and all the different assets. Like, we're actually living and breathing it every day. And our goal is just to help them not make the same mistakes we did. If I can help them not make one mistake per house and they do 10 houses in a year, that's 10 massive mistakes they don't make. Their income is just going to go up. Their stress level is going to go down, and they're just going to be more happy.
Yeah, there's some of the things you mentioned there. And this is why you need to have education in real estate. This is why you need to have education with financing, personal finance, the things that you were never taught in school. I mean, how do you think you're going to learn how to flip houses? You're not going to learn it in high school. You're not going to learn it in college. You're going to have to learn it from somebody who's living and breathing it and doing it every day. And that's why you're a real teacher. I hope everyone watching right now understands that a lot of the teachers we see in schools, in colleges, have never actually done the job that they're teaching. And so Paul is a living example of someone who's doing it, living and breathing it every day. And like my wife and I, we live it and breathe it every day. It's part of our dinner conversations when we're talking about our rental properties. And so to be a part of, you're a real teacher. So I don't want to have you give away every little piece of information inside your membership site, because that would just be a waste of time here. But just some of the things you touched on, how do you start finding a contractor? I mean, this has been a huge frustration. It has always been something difficult that people struggle with. Give us some little nuggets there when you're starting that, putting your team together in the beginning. What are some of the things you're looking for with your contractor?
Well, I go into like three different phases of trying to find a contractor, just from background checks to Better Business Bureau stuff. Like, let me see the last three jobs you've completed. Mm-hmm. Let me talk to the last three homeowners. Or if it's a vacant property, like, let me go see it. Let me go look at the listing pictures. Hey, give me the lockbox code. I want to go inside and see your quality of craftsmanship. There's so many things. What we do is, Clayton, we get lazy. We're like, well, if I'm paying them $40,000, it should look good. Okay, but your responsibility, like, this is your asset. This is your house. Somebody gave you, right? You borrowed somebody else's money, $200,000. They gave you their money. It's in your name now, right? Like, that money is tied to you, whether it's a personal guarantor or whatever it might be. You are responsible for that. So you have to do everything in your power to eliminate obstacles, hurdles, any way that you can fail. And by doing that is, hey, let me dig into what the contractor's saying. Let me go check out his license and make sure it's still active. Let me see if he is successful in the community. How long has he been here? Or is he a fly-by-night, I need to get paid every 3 days. You have to pay for all the materials because I don't have enough money in the bank. Like, I'm sorry, that's not going to work for me. I need a professional. I need some, like, if I'm in it this deep, I need you to be in it this deep with me, because we're a team. And for us, where it started to shift for us a little bit, we were running 5-6 crews at a time, 18, 20 deals at a time. That's a lot of renovations. And we started noticing key people that stuck out, key contractors, supervisors, like, okay, I can see this guy, and a couple of them, they bounce, and it's okay, let them bounce. And if finally I started having conversations with the key guys, and it was like, hey, I hate quoting jobs all the time. I get some, I don't get some. If you would write me a salary, if I could work for you, I would be okay with that. And it would eliminate a lot of my stress. And you always have work, Paul. You always have houses just sitting ready for the next renovation. And I took the people that were excelling and I said, okay, let's do that. What do you need per week? What do you need per month? Okay, these four guys are on your crew. What does it cost for the crew for the week? And I actually started saving money in my renovations, because all these other guys, all these other contractors, they were jacking their numbers up because they might only get 3 out of 10 jobs they go quote. So they're, that costs time and energy and money, but these guys working for me. So I actually started developing and educating and taking my guys on fishing trips and taking them out to lunch and meeting with their spouses and their family on the weekends and sending them Christmas gifts and their kids' birthday gifts. And I just started pouring into the main people that stuck out to me. And as I developed them, I was able to teach them and coach them my way of how I needed it done and the excellence that I needed to be able to put my name on to turn over to a brand new homeowner that has 3 kids that we want it done right. We don't want it done shady. We want a name that lasts forever. This is like who we are. And that helped grow us big time because it allowed me to do more deals. It allowed one guy to oversee 3-4 jobs at a time as he was just bouncing from job to job. So those are just like a little bit of the nuggets. But yeah, when you're talking about paying a salary versus all this overhead that these guys are charging, and you're talking 20, 30 jobs at a time, like that's a lot of money. Even on one deal, if you can save $10,000,
right?
You do a couple of those a year and you got, you're 20% down for a rental property.
Right. Exactly. No, that's great. Those are some fantastic nuggets, things I had never really considered about doing background checks like that, going to see their former work. I mean, those are some fantastic bits of information. Let's talk about the money phase. People, I think, are always scared. This is a common question. I don't have the money. I have bad credit. How do I get started flipping properties when I just don't have the money? Do you walk them through that in your program that can help people figure out how to get access to capital?
I give 9 different ways to find funding that isn't yours. And I listen to your stuff, Clayton, too, and how you're never going to get rich using your own money. And I couldn't agree with that more. I'm so happy that people say, college is great and you have to go to college for certain, fields of industries and things like that. I don't want a doctor doing surgery on me and they haven't been to school or an attorney or something like that. But I love hearing that kind of stuff because I don't agree. I mean, I agree with it wholeheartedly. I couldn't imagine. I went to college for a couple of years and then I was like, this isn't me. This isn't how I learn. This isn't how I want to live my life. And I took the detour and went entrepreneurship and it's been amazing. But yes, I teach 9 different ways to get funding that's not your own money. And you're never going to be successful. Like let's say you have $500,000. That's only 2 or 3 deals. That's nothing. And if it takes you 3 to 4 months to sell the deal, right, to flip it, you're only flipping your money 2 or 3 times a year versus having access to, like you say, millions of dollars of other people's money. It allowed you to do more deals. And the goal for me doing more deals is that means I have more closings. That means I'm moving more properties. So if one property's sitting and it's stuck, right? I can't sell it for some reason. It was a weird part of town or something's just not moving on it. I have 3 or 4 other properties that are getting renovated. I have 4 or 5 other properties that are on the market. I have 4 or 5 other properties that I'm bringing acquisitioning in. So the ball's always moving when you do volume, and you can only do volume if you use other people's money, or like you say, if you won the lottery or you're a superstar. So
today's show is brought to you by Tiege Hanley. I'm super excited to have them on as a sponsor because it's skincare for men. And look, I know if you're new to skincare, if you're new to thinking, well, I'm just a guy, I just wash my face with a bar of soap, please promise me you're never going to do that again. Promise me. Once you understand what that actually does to your face, I mean, wrinkles, crow's feet, you want to look 10 years older than you actually are, yeah, then just go ahead and keep doing that. Or you could actually get into a routine that takes care of your skin. Now, if you're new to skincare, I recommend starting with their Level 1 skincare system. It comes with all the basics that every guy needs just to take care of their skin. A face wash, an exfoliating scrub. You put on an AM moisturizer with an SPF 20 right in the morning. So when you're out in the sun, even just going to your car, going to lunch, you have that SPF on your face and that added protection right now. And there's a PM moisturizer. So you wash your face at night, put that on before bed. It's one of my favorite things about Tiege Hanley is the instruction card that comes in every box. It tells you when to use each product. My wife will be in the bathroom, it seems like for like 20 minutes doing different stuff before bed. That was until I started actually taking care of my skin and thinking, okay, I'm in my 40s now. I don't want to look like I'm in my 60s, right? I need to start taking care of myself. And that's why you need to take action and try Tiege Hanley. They're going to give you 20% off the retail price, including free U.S. shipping. And just for listening to this show, you are going to get a free, because they're sponsoring our show, you're going to get a free toiletry bag with your first box. Just go to Tiege.com/investing. I have the bag. It's awesome. Free toiletry bag. And it doesn't just fit their items. It'll fit any stuff. So when you're traveling, it's perfect. Here's how you spell it. If you're wondering how to spell Tiege, it's T-I-E-G-E. Tiege.com/investing to get started for only $25. Really fantastic. It is the right skincare routine for you. Can get rid of those unwanted eye bags, wrinkles, crow's feet, all of it. Men, I'm telling you, give it a try right now.
Let's talk about the current state of the market. And then I want to talk about how you really, you know, transition into buy and hold properties and how, you know, at what point do you know to jump to that? So when you're looking at the current marketplace right now, do you encourage your students, people that you're teaching, to be looking for deals in their own backyard to do these jobs or to do it virtually remote? And what are you seeing as far as the housing market goes just in general? And I know there's no one market. I always try to educate my audience on that. There's no one specific real estate market. But what are you seeing right now? Is your job more difficult or easier right now given these low interest rates and this demand for housing?
Well, the market right now, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, so all your listeners know. I deal with South Georgia as well. And the market's so hot right now, right? Interest rates are low. Some people are still a little scared because presidency and election, all that kind of stuff. But as far as buyers, they're buying it up like hotcakes. If you have a property and if there's a good renovation done on it or it's in good shape or it's newer, it's off the market in a day. You can even list it $10,000 higher than the fair market value and you're probably going to get it. So for us, inventory is very, very low. So if you have something, if you can find something, if you do a great rehab, you put it on the market, it's going to be under contract very quickly. And that's what we're seeing here. Is it harder to find deals right now? I feel like it is just because with everything going on COVID wise, a lot of the foreclosures, a lot of evictions have stopped. And with that being stopped, now it's looking through the end of the year, that'll be a 9-month holding pattern for all these banks, all these lenders, all these people that want to dump properties as far as going through those legal processes. So I feel next year we're going to see a big influx of those type of things. We are seeing a lot more rentals hit the market now than before, where maybe somebody owns 3 or 4 rental properties, the tenants aren't paying due to COVID, they can't get them evicted. And this is like that person's livelihood, like they're retired. That's the only way they're getting income coming in. We're seeing some people drop properties like that, like, hey, I can't keep doing this. I believe we're going to see a lot more influx coming into the new year about that.
Yeah, we're definitely, and maybe certainly in the commercial space too, we're going to see a lot of that. People who just were not able to keep up their mortgages on those retail strip malls and things like that. So yeah, difficult times certainly ahead in that quadrant, unfortunately. Let's talk about transitioning from the fix and flip model to buy and hold. At what point do you know, or did you know, that you ultimately wanted to hold real estate? For instance, when I got started, I knew when I started wholesaling in New Jersey as the thing that propelled me into real estate, I knew that right away that whatever cash I got, I was going to transition into down payments and so forth to find and acquire rental properties in the markets where I invest now and where we're building our new construction and so forth. So I knew right away. What about you? Did you know right away?
I knew very quickly within the first year because me and my wife do this as a team. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have assistants and all that kind of stuff, but we still do it. So it's both of our income. So I knew very quickly I needed to transition a lot of these $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 profits into something that was going to last long. So, you know, the way I found my rentals was the same way I buy my fix and flip. And I hear all these other people like, hey, this makes a good rental, you know, buy it now, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, is it a good fix and flip? Because for me, I still want the same equity. I still want the same number. Like I'm greedy, right? I don't just go out and buy a rental at fair market value. I'm a fix and flip guy. I'd rather go in there and do the work myself, save the money. So that's basically, I knew right off the bat, probably within the first year, because my fear was, what if I get hurt, Clayton? What if I'm on a roof and I fall off? What if I'm in a car accident? I was a state trooper. I've seen people that thought nothing could happen in life. And then within a moment, everything was taken away, or they're handicapped, or somebody dies, a spouse dies, whatever. So for me, I wanted to protect my family. And I knew I had to create that for them, meaning monthly income plus a retirement, right? This was our retirement. Now that we're both in it, I don't have my state retirement from being a police officer. I don't have my military stuff. So I knew I needed to create a check every single month, but also have something for my retirement. And I just saw it as being an amazing thing, because my rentals were also helping me in the fix and flip business from capital gains, right? Last two properties, I mean, both of them are pretty similar. I bought one at 60 and one at 80,000. They're both worth $250,000. And I put 40 into one and 50 in the other. So if I'm in it for 110, 120,000 and it's worth 225, that's a lot of capital gains, especially short-term capital gains. So I looked at, okay, how do I turn this into a positive and eliminate some of those capital gains? But at the same time, I'm bringing in $18,000 a year of rental income. So there's all those different things. I can write depreciation off on the property. It's increasing in value. There's all these benefits to it. So I do have, you know, newbies come to me a lot and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting into rentals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, you got to have enough money for 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%. Where's that coming from? We don't have an endless amount of cash. Okay. You get five rentals deep, then what? So for us, it was fix and flip. We're creating 40 grand, 50 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, 80 grand. We'd say, me and my wife would say, okay, we got $200,000 saved. Let's go invest in some rentals. And we'd buy some rentals and buy them from fix and flips, buy them at auctions, buy them wherever, and turn them into our rentals, because I got to do the renovation. So I got brand new roofs, brand new kitchens, brand new ACs, brand new floor. So like my rentals are top notch because I put the money into it, but I still have $100,000 equity in each of them. So that's kind of how we transition from fix and flip, move our money into rentals, and think long-term.
Great. And you're doing that in the same market. So you have eyes on those properties. You're picking sort of, because you've got a whole machine, a business around fix and flip, you're able to sort of cherry pick the ones that you think, great, we've got the capital now. And that's kind of how we were doing it. When we would take our wholesaling money and we've got to a certain point, we would then acquire out of market, because New Jersey is a crazy place for us to be acquiring. I didn't want to be investing in New Jersey. So being able to acquire out of state, and I would use our state money there to be able to acquire out of state. And that's kind of how you rolled it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I like living with the mindset of I'd rather sacrifice now than sacrifice later. And so for me, if that money comes in, I want to put it right back out. I want to get it right back to making me a return. And I'm not spending it because I don't see it, right? So for me, and then on those, my crew's doing the renovation. So instead of it being a $50,000 rehab, I'm probably paying $30,000, $32,000, $35,000 for the renovation. So I'm saving another $15,000 there. All that adds up over time, and it just compounds and compounds and compounds.
What makes a great deal for you?
Man, in the fix and flip or a rental?
Well, both. And I imagine, because you're doing the renovations on these, I imagine they're fairly similar, no? Or do you have diametrically opposed metrics for a buy and hold versus one that you're fixing and flipping? I'm curious on that. Let's go through both of them, because I think our audience would benefit from hearing what you're looking at.
I look at both the same. The only thing I really change when I look at a rental is how new is it? How old is it? I like rentals that are newer, you know, maybe 15, 20 years tops, because if I'm going to hold it for 30 years, I'm selling a 50-year-old home versus buying a 1950 house that's already 70 years old. I hold it for 30 years and I'm selling a 100-year-old home. So even while I'm thinking long-term, I'm thinking how old is the house when I go to sell it? If I sell it, you know, I might keep it in the family and give it to my kids, whatever. So that's really the only thing I'd look at when it changes from fix and flips. My fix and flips, the amount of percentages I want to make on a fix and flip, I almost do the same exact in my rentals because I'm buying it as a fix and flip. I'm renovating it and I'm transitioning it right into a rental portfolio that's holding equity that I can pull out at any time. So I always want the equity in there. I always, you know, if I can do the rehab and save a good percent.
How much equity do you want in a deal?
I mean, I'm probably 15 to 20% right now.
Yeah. That's great.
Some deals I get 30%, 40%. Last two deals, I mean, I've gotten 50% on over 50% on both of them. my average is probably 20 to 30. It just depends how I'm buying them.
And that's why Paul is a great educator. You got to learn from someone who's in the trenches doing deals like this and knows how to find these types of prices. Where are you finding these deals these days? You mentioned auctions. Are you doing a lot of direct mail? Do you have people picking, answering phone calls, doing wholesale deals? What kind of mechanisms are you finding the best bang for your buck right now?
Yeah, I mean, I use pretty much everything that's out there. My team, you know, some of them love Deal Machine. Some of them love mail out. Some of them are great on phones, and I have virtual assistants that do that. Everybody, you have to find your niche. I try to tell my students, I'm like, there's one or two things out of the 10 things I'm going to show you that you're really going to love. Now, you still have to do all 10, because if you can pick up one deal a year out of one of the 10, that's 10 deals. And then if you really like these other two that you're pulling five more deals, you're doing 20 deals. So I teach like, hey, look at these 10 different ways to find deals. Figure out what works for you and then attack it like there's no tomorrow. Some people love mail outs and I've done a ton of them, but would I rather have my VA get on the phone and get a hold of somebody quicker than a mail out that somebody throws in the trash? I mean, everybody has different perspectives, but we do auctions, we do online auctions, we do county state auctions, we do probates. Done a lot of probates lately, and that's been very phenomenal for me. These guys are motivated to sell. I deal with my local attorneys here and I have relationships with all of them. I do all my closings at their offices, so they all know me. So it's easy to call up and say, hey, you got any probates this week? And they're like, yeah, I got four of them. I'll send it right over. Whereas in somebody else calling them, they're going to be like, no, you know, we don't really have anything. But when you do 40 or 50 closings a year at their office, they're going to respond to you. They handle all my legal paperwork. A lot of different ways to find it.
They know you're the real deal. I mean, they know you're sitting there doing closings on a regular basis. They're not going to call anybody else. They know that you go to closing, that you see deals through, you don't waste their time. That's incredibly important in developing these relationships and going to RIA meetings and all the things I'm sure that you teach in your membership site. That's fantastic. When you look at someone getting started right now, transitioning from a job that maybe not coming back, permanent job loss that we're seeing across the country right now, how difficult would it be for someone to kind of get up and running in the next few months? So if someone's listening right now, they've suffered a permanent job loss, they're furloughed, they may not come back to work given this pandemic, and we're going to see more and more of that as 1 million are added every week to those permanent job loss numbers. How quickly could someone go through your membership site, start working to learn how to do fix and flips and get up and running, do you think?
Under 30 days. I literally have students under 30 days buying properties. I just had a student within the first 2 weeks of my course. And what I do, Clayton, I put my money where my mouth is too. I partner with students all the time. If they have knowledge and a little bit of money, they've been through my course, I know their foundation strong. Like, I partner up all the time with students. We just sold a house last week that one of our students did. Him and his wife, amazing couple on the beach, not even near me. Had to drive out there, go see the property. Did a deal with them. I think they were 2 weeks through my course, found their deal, submitted it to me. We worked the deal together, did a partnership deal on it. And he just closed with $98,000 profit. So
My
students have success after success after success. They can actually go to our website and they'll actually watch videos of that one I just talked about. Like, the couple did a 4-minute video explaining it, and it's awesome because you can do it. You just have to say, okay, my mindset is, and then do it. Because my wife and I, Clayton, I don't even know if you know this, but like, my wife and I were running a $10 million resort for another company. And in the drop of a hat, the company change focuses and want to go a different direction and bring different partners on. And within a moment's notice, the CEO drives up to the company, meets with both of us, and fires us both on the spot.
Wow.
Like, two incomes, 13 days left of insurance, I couldn't move back to where I was from because I had no job. I had no proof of income. So I lived it. I know how fast I can do it. I know how fast they can do it if they just apply what they're doing. Set some time apart every day and say, for 30 minutes, I'm going to look at Paul's membership. I'm going to look at his training. And then for 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to apply some of it. And then within 30, 40 days, I'm telling you, I have students cranking them. Some are 2 weeks. I mean, they dive in right away and they find a deal. And they're like, hey, I have a deal. I have it under contract. I don't know what to do now, Paul. And I'm like, let's get on the phone. Let's have a conversation. Let's get on Zoom. Whatever we got to do, and we'll get this thing done.
I think one of the big things that holds people back is they're like, well, what happens if I get a deal? Right. And now they're like, oh my God, I won't know what to do if I get a deal. It's like, okay, first steps first. You got to get a deal first. And before you get a deal, you got to be educated in the process to find a deal. So don't put the cart before the horse. And really it comes down to how much, you know, are you a dog with a bone? For me, I was always a dog with a bone and I would run after it. And I'd be able to get on the phone with Paul or somebody else and say, okay, I found a deal. Now what? What's next? What's step three? Then what's step four? How do I find a title company to close the deal? Okay, that's step seven. Okay, great. I'll get there when I get there. So don't worry about, don't put the cart before the horse, right?
Yes, sir. You nailed it on the head. There's so many, and that's like when I used to have my membership, my course where they could just buy it and go through it, I even made it a drip where they couldn't get all the information at once. Like they had to wait 3 days for the next one because I'm like, okay, did you go set up your LLC? Did you get your insurance? Did you this? Okay, now let's jump into the next module. But it's actually less stressful when they do that, Clayton. And you know that, like when you just start from the beginning and just go through it gradually and you're doing the action steps, it's so much more peaceful. It's so much easier. And knowing that you can do it in under 30 days, I mean, and guess what? Like you said, Clayton, and you nailed on the head. I love this. I listened to it earlier today. Like go find a contract, go find a house and write it up. Then call a guy like me or somebody else in your local area or Clayton or somebody and say, help me get this. Like, I already got it signed. Investors will step up, put money up and say, hey, I'll help you do the deal. Let's go.
Right. I mean, that's the key, man. You know, there's deals are hard to come by for just fly-by-night people. But if you have a structure and a structure like that you teach your students, you know, deals are difficult to come by, but people will come out of the woodwork when you've got a deal. And we know how hot the housing market is right now. As you mentioned, being able to sell a property in one day right now by doing the types of upgrades that you teach people to do. So wonderful stuff, Paul. I don't want to take up any more of your time. You've been so gracious educating our audience today and pointing us in the right direction. So tell everyone right now who's listening where they can go to start taking advantage of your membership site. See if it's a fit for them at $1 for the week. You know, that's less than a cup of coffee for crying out loud.
Yeah. I mean, they just need to go to our website. And that's the cool thing. Like they can cancel it whenever they want. There's no guarantee. If they don't like it, I'll give them their dollar back. No risk, right? There's absolutely no risk to you. If you don't like it, I'll give you your dollar back. I'll probably even add in a couple of dollars and send it to you. But just go to flippinexperts.com and just read through it. Look at the testimonials. Look at how it is changing other people's lives. And if you want that for you, what risk is there?
Wonderful. Well said. Well, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you here, Paul. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being an educator and a teacher and someone who's in the trenches doing this every day. You're a true teacher, my friend. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I appreciate it.
Well, Mr. Clayton, I appreciate you and all that you do. And I love hearing your podcast. And people need to jump on your podcast because that's the first step. Get some free information, get some knowledge from multiple people. Clayton, I do have, if you want to give people a discount to my membership, sure. Totally cool with that. It's just your name. Clayton Morris, all in caps, and they'll get a 15% discount. So
wonderful.
They only have to pay 85 cents. Look at that.
Perfect. All right. So just use my name, all in capital letters. We'll make sure it's in the show notes. Coupon code Clayton Morris, all one word, and you'll save 85. You'll save 15% off. So perfect. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for doing that for our audience. I appreciate it. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, my friend. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and becoming a part of this great community here, taking action to become a real estate investor. Like I always say, you know, it starts with that first step. So go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, study Paul's membership site, and take those steps that necessary to build success right now in your life. Now is the perfect opportunity as we transition in this crazy 2020 world. So do something for your family that's going to provide long-term stability for you. So everyone, we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for subscribing.